Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning, isn't it? If you're not excited, I feel sorry for you. You're in the house of God, after all. And this is a place where we can come and have fellowship with one another and learn more about God. And that's what it's about, isn't it? And it's a place for us to really examine our lives and our hearts and to really grow in Him. So I encourage you this morning with this lesson. What I've been doing these past few weeks, past couple months in the young adult class, is I've been going through the book of Acts. And we've been really studying the life of Peter, the life of John. Now we're getting into the life of Paul, who was formerly known as Saul. And we're getting into that. But today I'm going to kind of go back and review a little bit. The young adults will probably doze off here and go to sleep. But that's okay. We'll get them next week. But I just want to give you a quick review on the life and the things that have happened in the first couple chapters of the book of Acts. And I just encourage you to have an open heart this morning. I really do. Today is not a time to come to church and go to sleep. It's just not the place for it. This is a place where we just need to have that enthusiasm to learn about the Word of God. And if I start to see somebody fall asleep, I got a nice water bottle up here, and I'll just have to chuck it at you. All right? Does that sound good? Grandma, I'm looking at you. Anyway, let's just have an open heart this morning. And before we get going, let's just have a word of prayer once again, because I truly need God's help this morning. I'm dealing with a couple of issues. I can't really see well today, so that might be a blessing to you. I can't see my notes. I got a dumb thing in my eye. It's blocked, blurring my vision, and my good eye is actually my bad eye. So a lot of things going on this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much today to be in Your house, to learn about You. Lord, it is a great privilege that You have given us this morning. Lord, please help us not to take this lightly this morning. But Lord, help us in this time to truly examine our own hearts and our own lives, Lord, so that we can walk further with You in our daily walk with You. Lord, our prayer this morning is we ask that not only in this class, but Lord, in the classes going on throughout this building this morning, we ask that You would just work and intervene in all the classes, Lord, that through this, Lord, someone would come to know You as their personal Savior. Lord, we ask that You would be with Pastor right now as he's dealing with a very difficult subject with young ladies. And so, Lord, we ask that these ladies would be attentive to hear Your word. And we ask it in Your holy, most precious name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts of chapter 2. And I'm going to begin to read only about three verses here. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them 11 tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." In verse number 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." You may be seated. How many in here, throughout their lifetime, being a Christian, looking back and reading the Bible, and let's just be honest with ourselves, how many of you have ever made fun of Peter? I'm the only one that admits that. I'm the only one that admits that Peter was a guy that we can laugh at. Well, I guess I'm the only guilty one here this morning. But we're going to look here at the life of Peter, not only him, but with John and the disciples. Are you folks awake this morning? Okay. I just want to make sure you're hearing me, because I only saw one hand go up, and I just didn't know if everybody is with me, because if we need to, we can stand up and do some jumping jacks real quick to get everybody awake. But what I would like to talk to you today about is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I believe this is a thing that needs to take place in our lives today as Christians. And I believe it's a thing that we overlook as a Christian. And so I would like to really deal into, with this subject this morning. I believe we too as Christians can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the problem that we have today, we tend to shy away from it. We shy away from being filled with the Holy Spirit. We automatically think, this is a Pentecostal thing. No, it's not. As a child of God, it is our thing. Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has the Holy Spirit living within him. Amen? But there is a difference of having the Holy Spirit living within you and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I believe as a Christian, we can sit there and say no to the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to work in my life right now. I'm going to do this right now. And please leave me alone. And so we tend to say from time to time, no to the Holy Spirit. We shy away from it. And this is the thing that we need to get back to. So let's remind ourselves, the Holy Spirit, He is the third person of the Trinity. There's who? There's God the Father. There's God the Son. And there's God the Holy Spirit. And this is a person that we forget about. And I have had this privilege of going through the book of Acts and to begin to study what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's being baptized with the Holy Spirit and there's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Two totally different things. And it's a great thing to go through this book. And I begin to look at the life of Peter here. Sure, Peter was an unusual character. I understand that. But he is very interesting to learn about. Yeah, Peter made some mistakes along the way. But there's some amazing things along the way that happened to his life to get him to where he was at after Christ went into heaven. And this is a very unusual thing. But I'm going to go back to chapter number 1. And it says in verse number 14, it says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room or abode, both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealous, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." So after Christ ascended into heaven, they went into the upper room. They all met. They met with prayer. And you go down to verse number 4, chapter 2, after they were meeting in prayer, after everything was said and done, a mighty rushing wind came in. I believe this wind was loud. This wind was deafening. And this wind came in and it filled them with the Holy Spirit. And after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, some amazing things began to happen in the life of the disciples. I mean, some amazing things. And it's exciting to learn about. So we get back to Peter. We understand that without a doubt, Peter went through some growing pains. We understand it. But it was these things that made him stronger and they made him more dependent upon God. And this is a place where we as Christians need to get ourselves into. More dependent upon God instead of dependent upon ourselves. Amen? That's where we need to be in our lives. Yeah, it's very easy to laugh at Peter. I laughed at him many, many times in my life. Peter, what are you thinking? Why are you doing the things that you do? You know, let's review some things that he was doing. And let's see how well we can remember. He reacted to situations before he realized what the consequences were. That sounds a lot like me. I react to certain situations before I realize what the consequences are. Remember when Peter cut off the guard's ear? Do you guys remember that? That's a very interesting time in Peter's life. You know, we criticize Peter for that. Peter, what are you thinking? Why are you cutting off the soldier's ear when you're with Christ? Let me give you something to think about. Did you realize that Peter was taking a stand protecting Christ? Oh, Christ didn't need to be protected. No, but he was offended that his Christ was being sought after. And he took the responsibility to protect the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's no different in us with our children. If someone offends our children or if someone offends our spouses, what's the natural thing for us to do? Stand up and protect them. So don't criticize Peter for that. I think it's very interesting that he did that. And I never really looked at it at that point. He was protecting his Lord and Savior. So what about the time that Peter denied Jesus 3 times? You know, we laugh at him. Yeah, he denied Christ 3 times. Jesus told him beforehand that he was going to do so. And you know, we're no different than Peter. We're really no different than Peter. We deny Christ in our lives every single day. Well, how do you figure, Chad? Well, every time that we wake up in the morning and we see this Bible sitting on the vanity and it stays closed, that's denying Christ. That's denying Him the privilege to come in our lives to speak to our hearts through His Word. That's denying Christ. Every time that something takes more precedence over being in church is denying Christ. That's the truth. So let's not make fun of Peter, okay? Let's understand some truths about Peter. And let me also remind you this. Even though Peter denied Christ, what did he do? He went out and he wept bitterly. I mean, it was an agonizing cry because he was very sorrowful for what he did to his Lord and Savior. Folks, that's not going on today in churches. We deny Christ, but there's no bitter weeping going on. There's no actual forgiveness going on. But Peter went out and he wept bitterly. When was the last time that we offended Christ so bad and we knew it and we just had nothing else to do but to weep and bitterly weep and ask for forgiveness? That's lacking in our churches today. And that's very scary when you think about this. Then there is my favorite. And this is probably everybody else's favorite too. Everybody has their own opinion, but this is my favorite. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter seen him out there and he said, "Lord, is that you?" And Jesus says, "Yes, Peter, come on out." And so Peter begins to go out and he begins to walk on water. And we know the story. Peter begins to sink. Why did he sink? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And so we laugh at him. Folks, that's no different than us. How many times have we taken our eyes off of Jesus? Amen? Well, what do we know about Peter? He immediately put his eyes back on Jesus. Now, the sad thing of this is, there are many Christians who are still sinking today. Why? Because they have yet to put their eyes back on Jesus. Now, Peter didn't sink all the way. I doubt if he got waist deep in water. He immediately put his eyes back on Jesus, and Jesus was right there, put out his hand. Peter grabbed that hand, and here he comes up. And he walks the rest of the way back to the boat with his Lord and Savior. That's awesome, folks. Some amazing things are going to take place in Peter's life very soon. And he had to go through these things to get him to where he's at in chapter 2. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's true we laugh at Peter, but let's understand something about him today. God was preparing him for something big. God was preparing him for something big. And I believe that there are many folks in here today, God is preparing something big for you in your life. You just got to be willing to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Through these circumstances, Peter was able to walk closer with God. After all, isn't that what's about growing closer with Him? Isn't that what it's all about? Going through the hard times, going through those hardships. It's about so that we can see Christ for who He is and so that we can draw closer to Him. That's what it's all about. And after Jesus ascended, as I just said earlier, Jesus ascended into heaven. The disciples went to the upper room and they began to pray. And they met God shortly thereafter. And the Holy Spirit came down and filled these gentlemen here. Now when this happened, it says in verse 4, it says they were all filled. There wasn't anyone left out. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And after this thing, some amazing things begin to happen in the lives of Peter, John, and the rest of the disciples. And one of the things that I got out here in verse number 4, Peter knew God the Father. He knew God the Son. He walked with Him. He talked with Him. He supped with Him. Had fellowship with Him. And now all of a sudden, he knows and has his Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thing that just took place here. And now he has this blessed privilege to grow in this relationship with Him as the Holy Spirit. This is now the place where I begin to stop laughing at Peter. This is a place where I begin to respect the very thing that Peter has done. Everything that he has gone through, I begin to respect those things and begin to understand why Jesus took him through these things, because he had to get to this point in his life. And it's an amazing thing. Sometimes we go through some hard things in our lives. And out of those hard things, we make that two decisions. One, we're either going to stay in a place where we're at and be sorry for ourselves the rest of our lives. Or two, we're going to remove ourselves from that situation and we're going to put ourselves in a place of God. This is where we need to be as a child of God's. Is in God's place, in God's hands. And Peter was willing to let the Holy Spirit begin to work in his life. Now we see in chapter 2, and we see in chapter 3, and we see in chapter 4, I believe, this is my opinion, you might have your own opinions, I understand that, but I believe that Peter was able to preach, I believe, the most powerful sermons that were to ever be preached. And things begin to take place in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. We see Peter begin to preach a sermon to about, let me see if I can see here, because everything's very blurry here. In chapter 2, I'm going to read verse number 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Verse number 41, it says, "Then they that gladly," did you get that part? "That gladly received the word." Now, think about this. We come into church Sunday after Sunday, and we don't gladly receive the word. Let's be honest with ourselves, because that's what it's all about. But it says here that they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I believe that this is the first most powerful message that Peter was able to preach. 3,000 souls came to know Christ as their personal Savior. You go into chapter 3 and the last part of that. Maybe I'm in the wrong spot here. Like I said, I cannot see. I'm sorry. Chapter 4 and verse number 4, you have another 5,000 souls come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why? Because Peter and John went out and they went preaching and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, amazing things are going to happen in your life. Some amazing things are going to take place in your life. The problem that we have today, we're too scared to give the Holy Spirit permission to speak to our lives, to move in our lives, and to do the things that He wants us to do. We're too scared of that. Let's be honest. Folks, I believe that it's time that we stop being scared and just give our lives to God 100% like He wants us to. And that's a fact. And some amazing things begin to take place here. 3,000, 5,000. And I don't believe that these were sermons that were being patted on the back. I don't think Peter just went out there and said, "Man, you sinned today. Good job. God forgives you." I believe he went out there. "You did what? You got to get rid of that." I'm serious. I believe he pointed out their sins. I believe he began to point out some rotten things that they were doing in their lives. Why? Because he said, "Repent. Repent and be baptized." Not only did he preach on repentance, he preached on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, when you preach on repentance and you preach on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, some things are going to happen that we just cannot understand. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is powerful. But he was preaching their need to repent of their sins. Now, I see something that takes place here. These 8,000 people that came to know Christ as their Savior that day did something. What was it that they did? They gave the Holy Spirit permission to dwell in their heart. What do you mean, Chad? Why is that so important? Because we can control the Holy Spirit. If that wasn't true, then the Holy Spirit would come dwell in our heart before we even asked. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to your heart until you tell Him, until you ask Him. I believe, and it's sad to say that, I believe there's a lot of God's people that have only accepted His plan of salvation. But after they accepted His plan of salvation, they said no to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is just sitting by the wayside, being patient, waiting for that person to give Him permission to work in their life. And that's some amazing things that can take place when we allow ourselves to give in to the Holy Spirit. Stop fighting that very thing that keeps us from getting to Him, letting Him work in our lives. And there are some things that begin to happen when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget who Peter was, what he went through. Now, if this was Peter when he was denying Christ and when he's cutting off the Roman's ear, and when he was walking on the water and he began to sink, do you think this Peter could have done it? I believe he had to go through these things so that he can learn to depend upon Christ more, and so that he can learn that he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said earlier, these sermons aren't the ones that pat him on the back. I believe it was the truth. And be quite honest with you folks, we need to be hit with the truth. I don't think things need to be sugar-coated anymore. I believe that we're living some very wasteful lives. We need to be hit with the truth. And when you're hit with the truth, what's the Word say about the truth? Set you free. Some great freedom in knowing the truth. And that's very encouraging to me. These people, I want you to understand something here. They wasn't able to look around like we do and begin to point fingers at one another. They had to look within themselves. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. He blocked every distraction that was around them. Imagine being in a group of 3,000 or 5,000. There's a lot of distractions that take place. He blocked them out. These folks couldn't point their fingers. Yeah, so-and-so needs this. Way to go, Peter! No, they wasn't able to do that. 3,000 of them had to cry upon the Lord. Oh, God, I'm a horrible person. Forgive me of my sins. And they called upon the Lord. And God saved their souls. We have a problem today in our churches. We are so busy looking at everybody else, when in fact, we need to look at ourselves. What do you see when you stand before a mirror? You see yourself, don't you? It's pretty scary at times. Very scary, especially when it's early in the morning. And we need to see ourselves for who we truly are. Don't worry about anybody else. Why, Chad? Why shouldn't we worry about somebody else? You're the one who's going to stand before God and be accountable for your life. I'm not going to be accountable for your life. Only you. I'm not going to be accountable for Doc's life. Doc is. But it is my job to encourage and to edify and to build up along the way. See, we're accountable for our own things here. So they wasn't able to look around. And so they begin to examine their own lives and they begin to allow God to work in their lives. And so we see this thing, we see two amazing sermons come together, and through this, 8,000 souls were converted to Jesus Christ. And you might say, wow, this is amazing. Yes, it is amazing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was involved. And that's amazing to allow this to take place. They gave Him permission to speak their hearts. I believe with my whole heart this morning that this can happen today. I truly do.
The problem is we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We've gotten so busy, we've gotten so occupied that we just basically said, I don't have time. Now, Holy Spirit, please stay there. When I'm ready, I'll come back to you and then I'll give you time to work in my life. And I just got some other things going on. I got so many coals in the fire. I don't have time for this right now. And so the Holy Spirit patiently sits and He waits. And He waits. And sometimes He waits and He waits and He waits and He waits. Folks, what are we doing? What is our problems today? Why can't we give our whole entire heart, our whole entire soul, our whole entire life to the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid He's going to call you to the mission field? Are you afraid He's going to call you to drive a bus, to teach a class? After all, this is our job. We are a ministry. We should have that desire to get the gospel out. Are you afraid to witness to someone where you work with? I tell you what, that's an amazing thing when you can reach some fellow employees of Christ. That's amazing. Your workplace will change. I kid you not. And I encourage you to allow yourself to give the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. We see Sunday after Sunday, pastors all over the country, all over this world, preaching their hearts out to God's people. And I'm just as guilty. We're not responding. We're not responding to the message of God. Why is that? Because we've said no to the Holy Spirit. We said no to His wanting to work in our life. And so, therefore, because we say no, this altar that we have in churches all across America, they're empty at the end of the service. I'm just as guilty, if not more guilty, than anybody in this church. I can tell you how many times God spoke to my heart, and I sat and I sat and I sat. Why? Because I said no. I'm tired of saying no. What happens when you say no? You're defeated. And then you live a defeated Christian life. I'm tired of living a defeated Christian life. I want to be victorious in God. I want the Holy Spirit to have so much control in my life, I don't care what happens. Because I know that I'm in His presence. So, altars are being left empty. Pastors' hearts all over the world are being broken. Why aren't they responding? Why aren't they hearing the message? It's because they've said no. Said no to the Holy Spirit. It's time that we stop saying no and we start saying yes. We have no right to laugh or to ridicule Peter for the way he was. What we don't realize, there are probably some people laughing at us right now. Have you ever realized that? Look at so-and-so. Man, he messes up every single week. Man, look at him. What a fool he's making of himself. And we laugh and we criticize. But we have no right. My question is, why are we giving them something to laugh about? Have you ever thought about that? Why are we giving them something to laugh about? Because if they were to see God in our lives, if they were to see the Holy Spirit working so powerfully in our lives, they wouldn't be laughing at all. They'd be saying, I want what He has. There would be no laughter. All of this would have been impossible if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit interceding and working in the first part of the book of Acts with Peter and John. And the things that were beginning to take place. But it didn't happen until these men met with Jesus and said yes. That's when it began to happen. And once they said yes, the Holy Spirit came down and filled their lives and changed their lives. And through this, because the Holy Spirit was working their lives, these men were able to go out, preach great sermons. These men were able to go out And they were able to heal the sick, the lame, the blind, because they allowed themselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know that doesn't take place to this day. I know that that ended. But some amazing things happened in their lives. Instead of mocking Peter, like we do so often, we need to be learning from this man. Learning from this man. Sure, he made some mistakes. You know what? We all make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day of my life. But we need to learn from our mistakes and grow. And allow some things to take place in our life. We need to be willing to correct our mistakes. Some people aren't willing to correct their mistakes. We need to stop pointing fingers at everybody else and look at our own lives. We need to begin doing what we are told to do and to repent of our sins. Giving the Holy Spirit permission to work in our lives on a daily basis. And allowing Him complete control. Stop denying the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You're robbing yourself of a blessing from God. I believe that with my whole heart. We have done the opposite. We have allowed Satan control in our lives instead of God. We have allowed Satan to control the things that we do. It's time that we start giving our lives back to God. I don't know if you realize the things that are taking place in our country, God's return is at hand. A lot of Christians don't believe that. But God's return is so evident, I believe that He can come back today. I really do. But yet, we have allowed Satan to control our lives, and we begin to worry about the things of this world instead of the things of God. Why is that happening? Because the Holy Spirit's sitting over there in the closet, just waiting to work in your life. And He's not going to do so until you give Him permission. Allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He can and He will do some amazing things in your life. Yes, it's true that Peter denied Jesus, but he also repented of that. Sure, he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus, but quickly he put him right back on Him. And he walked all the way back to the boat without sinking again. Little did we know about Peter that God was preparing him all the way along. God brought him to the point where he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, God's not going to do anything until you're ready. Remember that camp saying that we had a couple years ago at camp? What did it say? Who went? It says, are you ready? Aren't you ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to allow Him to work in your life like no other way He's done before? Folks, I believe it's time that we stop making a mockery of Jesus, because I believe that we really are. We need to stop mocking the things that He's told us to do. Stop being disrespectful to Him. Stop disobeying Him. Allowing Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I know the bell just rang, but I'm not done. I'll say this and I'll be done. Revival will happen in our lives. Revival will happen in our church. At Open Door Baptist Church. And I believe that revival can take place to this day. Because I believe God really wants to work. But revival will not take place in your life. Revival will not take place at Open Door Baptist Church until you give the Holy Spirit permission to work and to change your life. Serious as a heart attack. Give Him that permission. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, it is a great privilege to learn about Your Word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I know the class is over right now, but Lord, I pray that even through the next hour that You would continue to work in our hearts. Lord, help this message not to fall upon deaf ears, but Lord, help this message to really help us to understand and to help us to grow more and more and more closer with You every day of our lives. Lord, this message wasn't for anybody. I had intended for anybody here, but Lord, this was intended for me. So Lord, I ask You to work in my own life. Lord, I give you the permission to do with me what you will. And Lord, I just ask that you would reveal yourself more and more to me on a daily basis. And I ask you these things. We love you this morning. In your holy, most precious name. Amen.